Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I'm passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, we look at what it actually looks like to make that happen. And I share stories and ideas, mistakes I made, and you get the idea. So today we're looking at this idea of 10 creative alternatives to showing movies before the break. And last week we got into this whole idea of flow theory, and it was a very theoretical and heady and out there kind of podcast. And today it's much more practical. I do want to point something out. If you're interested in that heady, theoretical, geeking out on theory type stuff, I do have a video series on my channel. So if you go to spencervideos.com, that takes you to my YouTube channel. If you scroll down toward the bottom, there is something called 5-Minute Theory. So pedagogy in less than 5 minutes is actually what it's called. And I've got project-based learning, flow theory, Schlechte's levels of engagement, inquiry-based learning, and problem-based learning. And they're all in less than 5 minutes. I've tried to do what I could to make it fun and engaging. I have some pop culture references in there, some personal stories. And anyway, if that's your jam, then hopefully you enjoy that. But the other thing I wanted to tell you about is this, two cool opportunities. First thing is, if you go to this particular blog post, if you go to spencerauthor.com and then you, URL projects before break, one word, projects before break, you know, with no dashes or anything, then on this particular blog post, there is a whole set of resources. So it's a pack of 10 different things that you can use in your classroom. So each of these things I'm talking about, there's actually a resource pack. So it's the 10 Creative Ways to End the Semester resource pack. And you can download it for free. You can use it. They're free, truly free, absolutely. And hopefully there's something there that you look at and you say, I definitely want to use that. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and dive straight into these 10 creative alternatives. Let's just put it out there. December is exhausting for teachers. The days are shorter, the weather grows colder and wetter, at least here in Oregon. And we've had some sunny days. We've actually lucked out this week. It's been incredibly sunny, but we've had lots and lots of rain, and you know, it gets dark at 4 and it's just hard. And then on top of that, kids are anxious, whether it's a buzzing excitement for vacation or a sense of dread for some kids that they feel when they're going into homes that are unsafe if they're experiencing trauma. And teachers, well, teachers are tired. They're tired of redirecting behavior and tired of the mid-year pressure of the test and simply tired from the sheer energy it takes to be a teacher. Even the best teachers out there are tired right now. Now, it's no wonder that so many teachers begin playing holiday movies around this time of year. They want to create a sense of fun and escape and enjoyment, and a motion picture promises exactly that. And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's part of creating a culture of joy. I would point out that you got to be really careful that you're not violating copyright as you do that, but please don't hear this as a criticism against showing movies. But with that in mind, it never really worked for me to show movies. For the first few years of teaching, I showed a movie the day before winter break. But within minutes, kids were disengaged. They were passive. And it's because it wasn't special. My students could go home and watch a movie whenever they felt like it. In fact, many of them were going to do just that the moment that the break began. And it had me wondering, was there something that we could do in class that they couldn't do anywhere else? Was this actually a hidden opportunity to do something epic and make something memorable? And it led me to this driving question, what if we ended the semester with a sense of wonder? Over the years, I've learned that kids don't grow tired of learning. They grow tired of school. This is the chance to tap into the wonder and curiosity and creativity that school doesn't always offer them. So with that in mind, I want to share with you some of the things you can do to end the week in a way that is different from traditional schooling. Some of these are single day activities, some of these are full week projects, but hopefully there's one of these here that you look at and you go, I could do that in my classroom. So number one is a genius hour. Genius hour can take anywhere between 1 to 5 days. You could launch a genius hour for one class period and then continue it for the rest of the semester. Or you could say our genius hour projects, our 20% time is going to happen on the last week before a break. Now, I think it works best when you have some kind of devices so that they can do research and things like that. But here's the basic gist of Genius Hour. Genius Hour, also called 20% time, is a chance for students to engage in an inquiry-driven, independent project. The goal is that they're making something in the end. Now, they own the entire learning process, from the concept to the questions, to the research, to the project management, all the way up into the final product. I have a Genius Hour video that you can check out if you want to learn more about it. And then also, again, in that pack of resources, in the 10 Creative Ways to End the Semester resource pack, there's also a Genius Hour video along with kind of a list of things, mistakes I made in Genius Hour, so you don't have to make the same mistakes I made. Number two, Scratch video game projects. I think they really, to do it well, take a full week. But you could do the Pong game challenge, and that's something that you can do in one class period. And if you haven't checked it out before, go check out Scratch. It's a way to learn logic and programming through the use of blocks, and students manipulate it to move objects and eventually to create a game. Students can start out small by creating this, you know, Pong game. Like I said, it's pretty awesome. And afterwards, you can encourage them to move to a place where they can hack the game and make it their own. And then you can have them set up their own games and truly design things from scratch. If you're interested in launching a Scratch game, the site has a ton of great resources, and they have lessons ahead of time, and it's just a wonderful place to begin. And then I have kind of my process, like I said, that I use, and again, that's in that same toolkit, that same set of the pack of resources at the bottom of this blog post. Number three is a design thinking project, and this really takes a good full week. Now, you can do an abbreviated one for maybe 60 to 90 minutes, and that's possible in the free giveaway that I have, the Create a Sport project. But I think the best ones are a solid week. And the cool thing with the design thinking projects is they're something that people actually use out in the real world. See, design thinking is a flexible framework for getting the most out of the creative process. It's used in arts and engineering, in the corporate world, at universities, and social and civic spaces, and you can use it with any subject and in any age group. It works when creating digital content, when building things with duct tape or cardboard. You can use it for planning events and designing services. It is incredibly flexible. It is content neutral, so you can use it in any subject. Now, the process that I like to share is the launch process, the launch cycle. It's a K-12 version. It's the one that I created with AJ Giuliani, but there are a lot of different ones out there that work well. And so if you find one that works better for you, by all means, go and use that. Now, the fun thing that I'd also like to point out is that there is a free Create a Sport challenge and a free tiny house project. So those are two free freebies in this pack of resources. And again, it's the Creative Ways to End the Semester resource pack. So again, I'm just going to refer to that from now on as the pack. But you can absolutely check that out. Now, the next one, number four, is actually two different types of writing. I am going to call it 4A and 4B. 4A is thematic blogs. That's the high tech. And I think a good thematic blog project should take all 5 days of the week. And that's assuming you're teaching you know, for about an hour per class period. And you do need technology for this particular one. And the idea is that basically students are choosing blog topics that fit their interests. So that's the thematic or interest-driven blogs. And think about the way that people have foodie blogs and sports blogs and fashion blogs, science blogs, history blogs out in the real world, education blogs, which is what I write. And so the goal is that kids actually write in a way that true bloggers write, right? So they're not necessarily doing writing prompts. They're not doing, assigned writing. It's absolutely geared toward free choice. Option 4B, though, is a little different. It's video writing prompts, and it's kind of a low-tech alternative, and it's something I really enjoy. It's kind of a fun alternative. And this is the idea that you have them do these video writing prompts that are high interest, and the whole class can write on these, and you're all kind of on the same page. They can do it in their composition notebooks or whatever, wherever they write. It's a lo-fi way to do it, but it's still geared toward high interest writing. And there's a whole bunch of these on a site that I created. It's videoprompts.com. And I think, I might have 10, 20, or 30, somewhere around there, video writing prompts that you could use. And there's a lot of other ones out there, and they're great. Number 5 is sketchnote videos. And this ranges from 25 minutes to, you know, a full week, depending on the types that you do. And I love this idea of sketchnoting. It's one of my favorite ways of making ideas visual. It's concrete. It forces you to simplify things and really prove that you understand it. And so sketchnoting, again, is part of how I make sense out of things. But I also enjoy sketchnote videos. And there's actually 4 different layers of sketchnote videos you can do with students. Level 1 is the flipbook style. It's super easy. This is kind of like, you know, a student has 5 or 6 sheets of white paper and they just sketch out on each paper and then they move sequentially through it. One person is moving the paper, one person is reading a script, and one person is videotaping it with their phone. And that takes 20, 30 minutes. It can be super fast. The next one is stop motion. And this takes, a full class period to do. But it's also really fun. And students sketch out their ideas, and then they cut them out. There's if you check out the Common Craft videos, it's similar to that. And they can maneuver ideas with their hands. They can do stop motion to show movement of processes. And, it might be how they show, how the life cycle works or how a bill becomes a law or whatever else. And that's fairly easy. Then you get into one that's moderately difficult, and those are whiteboard videos. And I actually just did whiteboard videos with my college students, and they loved them. I mean, they were all over it. And I used to do this with middle schoolers as well. And the idea is that they sketch it out on a whiteboard, then they speed it up or slow it down in iMovie or Movie Maker, depending on the type of device you have. And then they add a script on top of it, an audio script on top of it. And it can take 1 to 3 days, depending on how fast or slow your students are. But it's a great culminating activity. And then level 4 are the animated videos. These are really difficult. These will take a good week with students. This is the kind of video that I enjoy making. You see them all the time on my YouTube channel. My son actually created one. I'm crazy proud of how he did. I'm being an obnoxious dad, but it's the idea of drawing something, scanning it, moving it to Photoshop, and then getting your ideas across that way. And I have a blog post explaining the whole process. The videos I make take me about 4 hours. They might take students up to 8 hours. So, I mean, it's not necessarily something that is that feasible in your classroom. But you may have some advanced students who the level 4 concept works really well for you. Or if you teach high school, that would be another option where that would work well. Number six are maker projects, and this takes one class period, and they're basically just similar to design thinking projects, but you don't walk through the entire design thinking process. You just jump straight into the prototyping, and then from there, students make something. You don't have to launch it to an actual audience. It's much, much shorter. And another variation of this is something called a divergent thinking challenge, where instead of telling students, you know, you're going to design a bridge, or you're going to design this, you're going to design that, what you do is the opposite route, where you don't tell them what they're going to design, and you give them limited supplies, and then they can design whatever they want. So one of them, they have a lot of flexibility on what supplies they use, but you're giving them constraint in terms of what they're actually making. The opposite effect is the divergent challenges, where, or that's the divergent challenges where you have a tight set of things that they have to use, but it's really broad in terms of what they get to create. So there's kind of two different variations of this. And either one of those will work well. It's really up to you which option you prefer. And so those are much shorter. It's basically, like I said, it's similar to design thinking challenges, except it's deliberately maker related. It's deliberately hands-on, and it's one single class period. Number seven is a wonder day or a wonder week process. This is basically you're having students asking this question: I'm wondering why, I'm wondering what, I'm wondering how, I'm wondering if. And then they can ask any kind of question they want. They can do this in a day where they find the information online and then they report back to the class and share what they learned. Or you can walk them through a full week where they engage in deeper research. They maybe even email an expert on the topic. They create some sort of product in the end. And it's genuinely a true open inquiry process that taps into student wonder and curiosity. And they would really get to choose the particular topics that they want to know something about. And just asking them, hey, what do you wish you could learn about today, is a great starting point for something like that. Number eight is hands-on simulations. And this is something like learning about ecosystems through a predator and prey tag game, or doing a simulation of a market and having students do a market simulation and experience supply and demand, or learn about industrialization through a simulated factory. And it's basically, you know, ending things in a really hands-on way to reinforce the concepts they've already learned, or to introduce something they're going to learn when they come back from the break. And so it kind of creates a bridge for them. Number nine are student podcasts. And what I love about student podcasts is they can knock these out in a single day. There are a lot of different options for it. Inside of the resource that I have, the 10 Creative Ways to End the Semester resource pack, I have 25 different ideas of podcast topics that your students can do. So there's a lot of different ones. They can do book reviews, they can do interviews, they can do fiction podcasts. There's all kinds of options for podcasts. And then number 10 is History Mystery. And this is basically this idea that you are going to engage students in a mystery that they have a hard time figuring out. One of the things that I love is the "Why are there ships buried under the city of San Francisco" mystery. And it's really bizarre. I mean, there are whole like ships, sort of like pirate ships, buried under the city of San Francisco, far away from the ocean. And the question of how did they get there is something that fascinates students. So they start with this question, they have to formulate a hypothesis and then defend it. And then in the end, after they defend that, they find out if their hypothesis was true or not. And it really allows history to kind of come alive. The idea is this, that these last few weeks before the quarter are a chance to do something different. They're an opportunity to innovate and try something new. Mistakes are going to happen. It can feel daunting if you're exhausted, but I've found that piloting something new is often the very thing that gets me re-energized as an educator. And so the idea is that by trying something new, it actually is more fun and less exhausting than you might currently feel. So again, I just want to say, I understand it's a tiring time of year. I want to thank you if you're an educator, if you're classroom teacher, for the amazing stuff that you're doing. I know it's a hard time of year. And just thank you for inspiring students to be more creative, to develop a maker mindset, to be filled with wonder. So with that in mind, I just want to say thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Go out and make something awesome.